B-Pod Studios.
Farzetta and Trey in the morning.
Tweeted, congrats to at Look It In on your Hall of Fame nod. Well deserved.
You know what I've always said about Alshon? Great guy. Great team player.
Great locker room guy.
Just wonderful to have around the guys. Always like that Alshonimus, as Jimmy Kemsky would say. But without further ado, here is the call that made it happen with Harold Carmichael going into the Hall of Fame from David Baker of the HOF.
Hello?
Hello, Harold?
Yes.
This is David Baker. How are you doing?
Oh, Dave, good. Thank you. How are you?
I'm doing good. You know that I'm the president of the Pro Football Hall of Fame, right?
Yes, yes.
And you might have thought I was calling for you for the Black College Football Hall of Fame.
Yeah, that's the last time I saw you.
That's right. Harold, the coolest part of my job is I get to talk to men like you. And on behalf of all the fans in the Pro Football Hall of Fame, thank you for all you've done for this great game. And it's my great privilege to share that you're going to have a bronze bust in Canton, Ohio.
Oh, God. Hell, thank you, David. Oh, man. Oh, God.
You're going to be a member of the Centennial Class, and we're going to tell your story and keep your legacy alive forever.
Thank you. Oh, wow. Oh, boy. This is so much, you know, I'm honored. Oh, gosh, you know, I never thought this would happen, but thank you, God. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for telling me this, David. Appreciate you.
That's nothing short of absolutely incredible. I don't know. Getting a call like that from a man that knows that he is going to, and that's what he says every single time, is that your legacy will be enshrined forever in Canton Hall of Fame. Like, I can't imagine those words being spoken. Like, that is just absolutely incredible. And it couldn't happen, I can't say it enough, to a better guy. A guy that is an absolute gentleman, for as much of a talented football player as he was, 1,000 times over, is the gentleman that he is as a human being. And I could not be happier for Harold Carmichael. And I think the next time I see that man, I'm going to hug him. I'm just that happy that he got into the Hall of Fame. And like I said, he is your franchise leader. All Eagles fans should know this, because I think they go back and forth with Mike Quick or any other receiver that might have been here, Tommy McDonald. Harold Carmichael is the greatest receiver that ever played here. He was with records for this franchise and receiving touchdowns and yards as well, receptions. He's the greatest. And now your greatest from your franchise is in the Pro Football Hall of Fame.
Yeah, growing up, the two guys my dad always talked about a lot as guys he wish he saw me play live was Harold Carmichael and Pistol Pete Maravich.
Okay. Yeah.
Like, you two random guys, but he always just raved about those two.
Yeah, man. It's unreal. Good for him. 610-632-0975. 610-632-0975. You are listening to 97.5, The Fanatic, WPEN, Burlington, Philadelphia. Broadcasting from the Xfinity Studio, only from Comcast. The 9 o'clock hour is brought to you by The Bagster. Dumpster in a bag. Get yours today at Home Depot and Lowe's. For details, go to thebagster.com. Like I said, we are trying to get a hold of Harold Carmichael, see if he can come on with us. It'd be great to get him, obviously. A little bit later, we'll replay a little bit of Ron Jaworski when he was on with us. He was very emotional for a number of reasons. One, it was a team that he played for about a decade. And the other is because Steve Sable, the head of NFL Films, the founder of NFL Films, also was inducted to the Pro Football Hall of Fame as well.
Yeah, when Jaws was talking, to think about it, it's two guys that were so instrumental in the success of his professional career.
Right.
Going in at the same time is just, you know, when he said Steve's office was right across the hall from him for 22 years. Harold Carmichael, as I said, watched him play with crappy Eagles teams until Ron Jaworski got here, until Wilbert Montgomery got here, and then this team, you know, took off with Dick Vermeil and the likes of Jaworski and Carmichael. What a day for Jaworski, and for him to have those raw emotions on the air with us, and we all know how real Jaws is. Mm-hmm. That's special. Like, that's special to hear a guy just let out his emotions over two people that were so instrumental to his professional career.
Absolutely. 610-632-0975. 610-632-0975. As for matters that are surrounding this football team right now, I do think it's interesting that Adam Schefter has never been asked about wide receiver coaches before. But I know...
We're nuts.
Well, so here's the thing. I know that if I don't ask him about the wide receiver coach rumors, Paul Domowicz putting out a story in Inquirer.com, on Inquirer.com, that Hines Ward and Bobby Engram are two candidates to fill the Carson Walsh position of wide receiver coach, then I know we're going to get tweets from people saying, hey, what about these two great wide receivers that could be coaching our wide receivers next year? So we went down the list of those two names. We also went down the list of offensive coordinators that could be coming in here to Philadelphia, or guys that could be taking over that role for Mike Rowe. And I think the number one name on a lot of people's list is Deuce Staley, because they want to see a guy that done well here, that worked his way up to coaching ranks as well, went from a guy that was a coaching intern, I think, one summer, to a guy that worked his way up to running backs coach and now is assistant head coach. A guy like that that played well here also for as long as he did, they want to see that guy continue to climb up the ladder with the organization. And I'm certainly one of those people. But as we have covered before, if Mike Groh failed in his position the way that he did, the odds are they're going to want to go outside the franchise. They're going to want to go outside the organization to somebody that might be coming in here with a new line of thinking, a fresh set of eyes, as a lot of people say. And that's where you start thinking about names like a Todd Haley, for instance, or Jim Caldwell, who I know is number one on my list. After him, it's Todd Haley. If you had to go with one guy that wasn't Deuce Daly, Trey, if it wasn't Deuce, do you have anybody else that you would rather bring in here other than your former teammate?
Yeah, I have no idea.
Todd Haley is a guy that could be a bit of a ball breaker, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
He could be a guy that's very aggressive,
yeah,
get in your face type of guy. He's had shouting matches. Of course, a lot of people remember him on the sideline with Matt Cassel, I believe it was, in Kansas City. A little yelling match. There were certainly yelling matches with him and Ben Roethlisberger. While Ben Roethlisberger was getting his best numbers, Todd Haley was definitely a guy that came in there and pushed some buttons. So he's worked with some big names. Kurt Warner, he worked with when he was in Arizona. They went to a Super Bowl. They lost to the Steelers. He's a guy that's been around the NFL a couple of times and is... he's definitely a guy that likes to get his own way.
Yeah, I don't mind a strong personality coming in, but I don't need a show on the sideline either.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because, you know, that can be not as productive as needed. You know what I'm saying? When you have a quarterback that's fighting back right now. But I would like to have someone. Todd Haley would be. Who else did you say?
Jim Caldwell.
Yeah.
Would be another one. Adam Schefter said that his health would be more of a concern.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, maybe then he is looking for an easier gig where he doesn't have to call plays. Maybe
that's one way of looking at it.
I mean, really, think about it for a second. Okay, if you do feel better after a year, you're an assistant head coach while you were in Miami this past season, so why not give yourself a bit of a breather? You don't have to call plays, but you could take a lot of credit for an offense that... If they do stay healthy with a quarterback that can play at a level like Carson Wentz, then yeah, maybe you do have an easier year for yourself.
But it's the hours that you're putting in.
Still the hours.
Yeah, man. Those hours, there's no getting around that.
Mm-hmm. Pretty much every name that we listed off, Jim Caldwell, Deuce Daly, John DeFilippo, Marty Morningweg, Press Taylor, and Todd Haley, almost every single one of those names has been a name that Adam Schefter has heard.
Yeah.
But the only name that he really hasn't heard is Press Taylor. And that makes me feel good, because that means at least one guy, if they are going to hire from within the organization, then I know it's not going to be Press. And if they are going to hire anyone, it's going to be Deuce. Just imagine that firestorm if they hire a quarterbacks coach over Deuce Daly.
Yeah, I don't think that's going to happen.
I agree.
Yeah, no.
I agree.
Not on and the eve of Harold Carmichael going into the Hall of Fame. Can't happen.
Take my guy Gary Kubiak out of it, because Shefty kind of laughed that off. So.
Yeah,
I have a new number one.
He squashed your dreams, Bob. I love to see it. He came down from the top rope and dropped a people's elbow right on your head.
The best was when he said, yeah, I don't think TK deserves to be in the All-Star game. He went hockey. Shefty went hockey.
Yeah. I'd be up to New York in a heartbeat.
Who's your number one now?
Jay Gruden's now my new number
all
one.
All right, Bobby, way to see the light.
But Shefty told us weeks ago that there's no way he's going to be an offense coordinator anywhere and it not be for the Raiders.
Well, Jay Gruden's my new number one.
There's a thing called cold hard money. Cash.
There's a thing called Las Vegas.
Yeah. It's overrated.
He's not a gambler.
Yeah, it's no Texas.
That's pretty nice. And real estate's dirt cheap.
Yeah.
Right. Working with your brother doesn't always, you know.
Yeah.
Mark, do you want to work with your brother?
I did work with my brother.
Yeah. How did that go? You guys are giving each other Nerf guns to kill each other with.
The Nerf guns?
Passive aggressive. It wasn't a fun thing. Oh, I can I really like hurt him with this.
I rake leaves with my brother. I helped him set up at one of his conventions. There you go, where he sells nostalgia. That's his fun little side job.
So did he give you a tip?
We've worked together quite well. No, he did not tip me for that.
No? Okay. All right. Not on the nightstand, though?
No, on the nightstand. Okay. Well, that is where he left it.
Yeah.
Go figure. For totally different reasons than what people are thinking right now, in case you missed that conversation some time ago. But those are all the names that are being out there right now for the Eagles' offensive coordinator position. But there has been just a slew of news, a bunch of news about the NFL, even outside Harold Carmichael making into the Hall of Fame today, which is amazing, even outside offensive coordinators and wide receiver coaches and all that. But the probably biggest national story going on right now in the NFL is that Luke Kuechly decided to retire at the age of 28. He becomes the fourth player under the age of 30 to retire just within the last 365 days. Rob Gronkowski is one of the names on that list. And you look down the list, and it's a bunch of guys that you would just consider, wait, hold on. These are all guys that had a lot of years left in front of them in the NFL, and right now they're just hanging it up. Andrew Luck's another. Mm-hmm. Doug Baldwin. I mentioned Gronk and Luke Kuechly. You look back just a couple more years ago, you have Calvin Johnson retiring. A bunch of guys just deciding to call it quits in the NFL. And I was reading one story that said Luke Kuechly might join Gale Sayers as the only other 34-year-old Hall of Famers.
Wow.
Think about that.
Wow.
And you have one guy right now hanging up. Calvin Johnson's going to be a Hall of Famer.
Sure.
Think about that. You have those two guys, one of the best at their position, calling it quits by the age of 30, and they could be going into the Hall of Fame. The biggest concern that I think football fans have, and Adam Schefter even got into this with us at 8 o'clock, is what does this mean for the NFL that great players, instead of getting a couple more years out of their career, are saying to heck with it, the post-career issues aren't worth it. Mm-hmm. And if I leave whatever it might be, $28 million on the table, like a guy like Kuechly might have done, maybe more, because you think about it, he might still get that one big contract at the end of his current contract, right? Maybe another team wants to pay him to be a leader and all that stuff. That's a lot of money left out there on the table, Trey. And guys are saying, you know what? The post-career life, it could be a lot better if I hang it up a couple years early.
Yeah, you never know what they're experiencing now. You never know what they're dealing with mentally. You don't know what they're dealing with physically. You know, so when you look at your family and, you for him, I don't know. Does he have kids? I guess he's... has a girlfriend.
Kuechly?
So,
yeah, he's a girlfriend.
Okay, so, you know, that's an important part of your life, you know, and you want to make sure that you can be there and be productive and not just be, you know, someone that's going up and down and riding the waves of what happens to guys mentally outside of football when you've given it too much. Because, I mean, the mental part of it is tough, man. It's tough for someone that deals with it myself and, you know, for other players that deal, you know, it's... I can see why you would walk away before it starts getting too bad, especially when you've already had some of this baseline testing. And if you get tested again, you start seeing declines.
I think the guy that changed everything, and it's a really sad case, but it opened a lot of people's eyes, was Junior Seau.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think that when you look back on it, maybe 20, 30 years from now, that might be the case where it went, oh, damn. And there was cases as sad as that before him, but he was, you know, a first ballot Hall of Famer, and it just ended in such a sad way that I think a lot of guys' eyes were opened.
Yeah, these kids now, the Kuechlys of the world and other guys, the Gronks or whatever, they grew up watching Seau play. Mm-hmm. And to have it happen, that's so fresh. And they can hear of a Webster, a guy that played back in the 70s, and it doesn't resonate like a Junior Seau.
Certainly. High profile enough and recent enough. Some of those guys, like a Kuechly you might be mentioning, Bob, modeled their career, modeled their play.
He's one of the best players I ever saw on the football field.
Certainly. Almost took the Chargers to the Super Bowl on his own as a linebacker.
That's insane.
Yeah.
I remember playing against Seau my rookie year, and they were
Did you ever have to block him?
They were like, "Look, he's going to do whatever he wants. So just ignore
scouting report. He does everything.
Just ignore whatever rules that you think he's going to blitz when he wants to. You know, it's not going to be something where you're like, he might go, he might not. You don't know what he's going to do.
He's got no tells.
Just keep eyes on him.
Yeah. Wow.
Just try to get in his way for a second.
Yeah.
Just delay him as much as you can. Drew in Uptown. Hey, Drew, real quick. You a Birds fan?
Of course.
Of course, man. Harold Carmichael into the Hall of Fame. Your thoughts?
That's major. It's amazing. Proud, super proud of him. It's a little bit before my time, but I've heard all the war stories, and my dad keeps me pretty abreast of all the old stuff. So that's major. Congratulations.
There you go, man. What's on your mind today, Drew?
I know you guys are talking Birds, but I'm going right back to my Sixers because they're coming on tonight.
And that's
I need to see some things from my boy. If you guys can remember, I called in a couple weeks ago. I said I'm out. And you all laughed at me. You feel me? But are we starting to see that maybe what Jimmy Butler was talking about might have been this guy and the fact that he can't really be held accountable? And my second question is at what point do we consider Ben a coach killer?
I'll tell you this. When he actually kills a coach, when he actually gets a coach fired. Look, that could happen, Drew. And I even said on the show yesterday that Brett Brown might be fired by the end of the season, at the end of the season, because of two things. One was Ben Simmons' jump shot and the lack of his jump shot coming along. That literally might get his head coach fired. The other is the amount of threes this team is taking when they're not that good at shooting threes. Especially when your GM goes out there and doubles down on the center position and you're still having your team shoot, what was it the other night, 28 threes they shot in total?
33
they got up
33,
to.
33, yeah.
28 in the, okay. Yeah, you're right. That might end up being the end-all be-all for Brett, those two main things.
Yeah, and if you're not getting through to your players, if that's the case, you know, and it appears to be because Brett came out publicly, said what he said. Mark, you've gone over it 100 times about him. You know, 1 3-pointer game, 8 free throws a game. And what is it now, 18 games, Mark? You're keeping track?
Today will be 19.
Tonight will be 19. The 19th game they played since his coach has asked him to shoot at least one a game that he hasn't attempted one. That's problematic. You know, and Brett was on this station last week and said, look, I'm just trying to help him, and I'm doing any means necessary to get him to shoot those shots and be comfortable with it. And Brett has seen it in practice. I've seen it. We've all seen it in practice. Ben Simmons can shoot the ball from outside. His reluctance to do so is hindering this offense. And why he is reluctant to do it is head scratching, especially when his head coach is privately and publicly calling him out to do so.
Yeah, it's just something that we all want to see. We don't need him raining threes. And I know this is going to be a talking point until he does it, but I am so sick of it. And I know if I'm sick of it, other people are sick of it as well. But it is a very vital thing where someone can go for maybe he's an all-star every year. Maybe he's that too. Oh, wow, this guy's in the conversation of MVP every year. That's how big a deal it is.
Yeah, real quick, I just watching some highlights during the break. Giannis Antetokounmpo last night had 37 points in 21 minutes. Okay, he hit a three. He is not a good outside shooter, but he hit a wide open three because the team played off of him. He took it. He made it. He also set a really good pick on a couple of pick and rolls where they found him when he rolled because he held up the guy properly. He rolled, got him the ball, boom, basket. They also found him for some alley-oops off of pick and rolls. He also drove to the basket really well and scored in traffic because he's stronger, bigger, and faster than a lot of the other guys. If you're not modeling yourself after Giannis, Ben Simmons, something is really, really wrong.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Jamie's been preaching this for years. We've all talked about it. Follow that example. Giannis is not a good outside shooter, but he's going to do it because he know it helps his team.
Yeah, I've been saying, Ben, follow Giannis. Carson, follow Russell Wilson. Just watch their tapes. Look at what they do. Russell Wilson's never missed a game of football.
Never.
That's unbelievable.
Yeah.
Giannis finishes at the rim like a few I've ever seen before, and that's exactly what Ben should be doing.
Never missed a game playing the style of game that he,
it's unbelievable.
You're running quarterback.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, that's ridiculous.
And the way he slides, like you saw it coming, he anticipates the slide coming, you know, 10 yards before he actually slides. Like he gears himself up for it. And that's what Carson's got to do. Same thing with Ben and Giannis. It's the blueprints are there. Just follow it.
And the Seattle GM was smart enough to get Clowney on their team, so Clowney couldn't hit Russell Wilson with his helmet. I mean, these are the facts.
Yep.
These are the facts. By the way, Philly E is telling us on our Twitch channel here, Ben is not a coach killer. Brett is a player killer.
I mean, you'd have to have at least two coaches fired before you even get that reputation.
Like, exactly. I hate that.
Maybe
that,
even three.
That is the biggest identifier of a hot take. Oh, yeah. That guy's a coach killer.
Yeah.
Okay, who'd he kill? Nobody's dead? Cool. Good talk. It's frustrating. 610-632-0975. But tonight, we'll play against the Nets. See what happens in South Philadelphia.
7.5-point favorites.
They're 7.5-point favorites tonight,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah. And Kyrie's back for the Nets, and Caris LeVert recently returned also.
That's right. Okay.
So they're nearing full strength. I don't bet the Sixers unless it's player props, because I find those hilarious.
I'm not betting 7.5.
I wouldn't either, but something tells me they're due to cover a game.
I don't trust them.
Just no, at home.
I don't either.
I don't trust them either, and I wouldn't bet it, and I'm not recommending anybody do that, but they are home, and they are due, and they should be plenty pissed off.
They absolutely should be. They absolutely should be pissed off. All right, coming up, I want to get a little bit back to Ron Jaworski on giving us some great sound bites when it came to Harold Carmichael getting into the Pro Football Hall of Fame, that getting announced earlier today. Also, Steve Sable right across the river in Cherry Hill, NFL Films, that getting announced that he's also getting into the Hall of Fame as well. Some great news coming out surrounding the football world here in Philly, so we'll get back into that. But there was one thing, as we have circled a little bit back to the Sixers, and it had to do with Keith Pompey. And the way he answered a question yesterday while he was on with Mike Missinelli was very troublesome. And it's nothing against Keith. He answered this very honestly, actually extremely honestly. And the way he answered it led me to believe that the pipe dream that we have of Ben Simmons developing his game is just not a question anymore. It's not a matter of I need to improve speaking as Ben Simmons. It's not a matter of I need to improve. It's a matter of y'all need to improve.
Mm-hmm.
It's not me. It's you guys.
Yeah.
And we'll let you hear what Keith Pompey had to say about that coming up in a little bit. Also, coming up, we announced earlier today that tomorrow at 9 o'clock is when registration is final for our second annual cornhole tournament going on January 31st. That's Friday, January 31st at Tall Man Joe's, 5 a.m. to 10 a.m. We'll announce the winner, that or the winners that will get the 32-team bid. So it's a double elimination we're doing. We will announce those 32 teams tomorrow. If you want to get in with your teammate, 975thefanatic.com. You can also download your free ticket right there. You can also get a screenshot of a ticket and bring it to the event itself. Cornhole is provided by Delaware Cornhole League. Visit them at cornhole.com. Plus, you can also join us for our after party. Trey, where are we headed to, my friend?
We're headed to Delilah's.
We're gonna have a great time.
Have a good time.
Damn right we are.
Yes, we are.
We got great prizes as well, presented by the great people of Parks Casino. We have a fire pit from Landis Block. Steven Singer is just giving us a slew of prizes for our winners. Annual golf pass to Linfield National. Sixers suite tickets with the morning show. We'll hang out with our fine listeners there and our winners there. And also a 24-hour rental of a 1965 Shelby Cobra, courtesy of Imagine Lifestyles Luxury Rentals. A bunch of our sponsors are doing a phenomenal job with our charity as well, Bounce Out the Stigma, the most unique special needs program in the country. We're also asking that our participants give a donation. We're asking that you guys do $20, $25 per person to donate to this great charity. I'll be donating it as well, and I'm looking forward to hanging out with all, but really with everybody at this party we're throwing the Friday before the Super Bowl. 610-632-0975. We'll hear from Keith Pompey coming up in a minute here on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Farzetta and Trey in the morning.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
The Fanatic.
So I know when the Sixers take to the court tonight, right here on 97.5, The Fanatic, by the way, one of the things people will be focusing on as per usual, is what Ben Simmons is doing on the court. Now, he has said in the past that he's afraid to play poorly at home because he'll get booed.
So are you saying we should do what the Pacers fans did, and when he's on the free throw line, say, shoot a jumper? In a supportive way, though.
How do you do that in a supportive way? Oh, please.
Tone. It's all shoot a jumper, please.
We
love you. Shoot a jumper, please. We love you. We love you. Cherry on top.
Everything else about your game is amazing. Shoot a jumper, please, Ben.
We respect everything, but shoot a jumper.
Please.
Please.
We're back in view.
All right. You've got as much out of this as you're going to.
What?
Bobby.
No, that's it. You guys are good. Then.
We're trying to be...
Bad boy in New Jersey highway system really coming at us. Jeez.
Drive right past left, Bob.
Yeah, seriously, Bob.
What's all that, Bobby?
My fault.
When you were teaching Jenna to drive, did you tell her the importance of driving right, passing left?
Bob.
Or is this something that is perpetuated throughout your family?
Is he dipping into the family?
He invoked children. Uh-huh.
Leave my family out your mouth.
I just want to know that you're teaching her the proper ways to drive.
Don't you worry about my teaching of her. I told her to drive to the best and to beat your ass and knock out.
Jenna's going
to
be driving in the left lane, isn't she? Damn it, Bob. Thought you would be better than this.
I failed as a parent.
You failed as a father.
And right now, if you're driving in the left lane and you're not passing somebody, move over! Thank you.
So Keith Pompey was on Mike Masnell yesterday, and this is how he chose to address the question with Ben Simmons developing his mid-range game.
Ben's the type of guy, he's going to do stuff on his own time. Like Brett Brown said, hey, he's going to shoot 1-3 a game, that's what he wants. Well, Ben's going to do it at his time. You know, I mean, that's just who he is. He's the type of person, he's looking at it like, hey, you know, if you guys want to get some, you know, shooters out here, now I'm not speaking for him, but I'm just saying this is the type of guy he is. If you want to get some shooters in here, then go out and get some. You know, my job is to distribute the rock, to play defense, and do other things.
Yeah, do other things. When somebody goes into the not my job category, now that's not what Ben Simmons told Keith Pompey. That's not what Keith Pompey is saying there. He's just saying that that's the type of guy that Ben Simmons is. My job's not to shoot. My job's to set up teammates. And yeah, you know what? As a point guard, some of that's true. But your job's also to help the team win in whatever way you can. And if you're a true point guard, then Bob, what do you need? You need spacing. You need to have that spacing on the court. And you're hurting the hell out of your spacing by not being able to shoot a mid-range jump shot because everybody can become compact in the paint so then you can't drive. And guess what? Then some of your big men also don't have room to maneuver down there in the post either when they do decide to go down to the post. So to me, if you want to be a great point guard, you need to have that mid-range game just so you can open things up for yourself
Absolutely.
As well.
Absolutely. And that's how a second half of 4 points after a first half of 20 gets nullified.
No doubt. So then you take it to the next step. And the first thing you hear Keith Pompey do is kind of that laughable thing. Like Ben marches to the beat of his own drum. Like he's not going to.
So we all know he's not going to do that.
It's so wild.
That's basically what he said. Like, come on. We all know. Well, why are you even asking
true
me?
Now? Are you really serious?
I agree wholeheartedly, Trey, Jamie, with both things what you were saying.
It sucks.
But it's like, it's not like he shoots, like, it's not like he shoots a little bit and we're like, come on, do it more. He doesn't do it. The part of his game in itself does not exist. I mean, the shot that he had from just outside the paint at the foul line 2 days ago was a shot that you really rarely see. I think that was the first time he shot outside the paint. I need to check the official shot chart. I think it was outside the paint. It might have been right inside. But that's the first one I've seen from 8 feet away from the basket in quite some time.
My last count had him, I believe it's 16 or 17 shots outside of the paint for the season.
It's something that's so easy to go out and practice and work on, and we know that he does it. We've seen him go out there and do it in practice, before games, whenever it may be. But for it to just completely leave his body during a game is insane. And to have a coach that has issued statements publicly and all that, and you still don't have a player responding to it, it just leads me to believe, yeah, this is just the way he is. This will never change. Never change. This is the version of Ben Simmons we're going to get for as long as he's here in Philadelphia. A guy that can dominate a game when he's being aggressive and he makes a decision to drive, but the minute you get defenders either playing the zone or sagging off him, which are two of the things we see the most this year, when defending Ben Simmons, he's completely taken away. That's what happened in the second quarter, or excuse me, in the second half last game, where he was completely taken out of his game. In a game that you were really starting to fight in against the Pacers, he was starting to get things done for you. And then second half, sag off him, compact the zone a little bit, compact the paint. Next thing you know, he can't drive anymore.
And you can watch all the footage you want of him bombing threes, standing there, catching a nice pass from an assistant coach, rising up, shooting, good form, making threes, makes maybe 6 out of 10. That's all great, but that's not happening in games. He's not getting standstill shots from there. So why 1,000 times a week is he not? If Ben Simmons gets the ball top of the key or even further back to half court, once he starts at full speed, I'm sorry, if I'm a defender, I'm back on my heels. Like, oh, here he comes, freight train. Pound, pound, rise up, shoot. Left hand, pound, pound, rise up, shoot. Right hand, like, practice that. Practice the, I'm going to the lane. No, I'm not. You're backing off. I rise up and shoot.
Mm-hmm.
Why can't you do that 1,000 times a week?
Mm.
Why isn't it incorporated? Oh, you're gonna have a 7-footer. Haynes is gonna cover you, and he's gonna drift back to the lane. Okay, dribble, dribble. I rise up from the foul line, jump shot. I mean, we see it in high school games 1,000 times a day.
Yeah. Any young player that's not going to get better, and Ben's still a young player. I can't say he's inexperienced anymore because he's been in the league playing 3 years now. Like Matisse Thybulle, any player. Like, are you okay with how you're playing right now in the NBA for the rest of your career? You don't want to get better? You don't think Furkan Korkmaz wants to get better at shooting from the outside? You don't think he wants to be a better bomber, as Brett Brown has said many times?
Bomber.
Every single player needs to get better. Every young player wants to get better in the NBA. At least they should. Ben seems to be, oh, I became a better defender. I'm fine.
Well, here's how I struggle with him, though. Because if I look at this whole team, this is where I struggle trying to figure things out. Who do you think is the most competitive guy on that team? I think I got to put Ben Simmons at the top one or two. So, why is it that competitive within himself isn't coming out? Like, if I'm a real competitive person, which I really do think Ben Simmons is, we see him fight, we see him claw,
mm-hmm.
we see guys getting fights, he's the first one there. I mean, you know, I think there's a real good competitive mm-hmm. nature there.
Uh-huh.
Why is it stopped at competing with yourself and to make yourself better? That's where I really struggle. I don't understand it.
No idea.
And I don't think he's not putting in the work. There could be that mental block there that we've talked about that he just won't do it because he's afraid of failure.
Yeah, and I think just being in this social media era, I think that the mistakes that could be made and how people attack you because you see it sometimes, even with kids, where they're afraid to, because guys start joking on you, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So that's one of the things that I've always, son, hey man, y'all stop joking around with each other, because it makes you not want to try something different. And I think that's what it is, it being in this era, that is something that's made him like, I don't want to deal with, oh yeah, look at that, you know, and they get the video of your shot, and oh, look at what you did, and it's jokes, 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 and it's right there in your face, and it makes you hesitant to go out and try something.
It's not like back in the day, if I were to go to Utrecht, hey, did you see Ben Simmons shoot that air ball last night? No, I didn't see that game.
Yeah.
No, you can't say to anybody, hey, did you see that? And they say no.
Yeah, no.
I mean,
yeah.
Everybody sees everything.
The reigning MVP of the league airballs threes.
Oh my God, yeah.
Like, with regularity.
And looks horrible shooting them.
But
he doesn't.
But you know why people kind of forgive it and move on? Because he is dominant in other aspects.
Mm-hmm.
And you know why? Because basketball players are supposed to shoot. Sometimes they airball. Everybody knows that he is working on that aspect of his game, and they respect him for it. There is zero downside. I'm going to lose my mind over this at some point.
You know what?
Zero downside to Ben Simmons shooting from the outside. Zero.
It's equivalent to you not trying pizza with pineapple on it.
No.
It's like, you won't do it. No. We're trying to say, just give it a try. Give it a try. You might like it. But nope. I'm not going to do it. It's the exact same thing with Ben Simmons shooting a jump shot.
No, don't try.
Give it a try. You might
today.
Like it. That's exactly what it is. Tell me the difference.
Trey, I got to say, Bob's onto something here. I think he's doing
there
totally
it is.
The same thing.
Ben Simmons needs to eat more pineapple pizza.
All right. You could take a basketball, Bob. You could deflate it. You could put it into a wood chipper and take whatever remnants comes out on the other side and put it over a cheese pizza.
And you'll eat that before you eat a pineapple?
You're damn right
okay.
I would.
I got you.
Throw some kiwi on that as well.
A little piece of NFL news just dropped. Larry Fitzgerald going to return for his 17th NFL season. Inks a one-year deal with the Cardinals.
Hmm. Wow.
He's 217 receptions off of Jerry Rice.
He'll get that.
If he plays two or three more years, he'll have a shot.
But he signed a one-year deal.
Yeah.
Hold on. How many is it?
217 receptions away. Yeah, he'd probably have to, at his current rate, I think it's three more seasons he'd have to play.
How many years did Jerry Rice play?
23, 24.
Forever.
He was still good with the Raiders.
His last game with Seattle, I think he had 127 yards and a touchdown. That's his last game.
Yeah.
With the Seahawks.
That's insane.
Now it's going to bother me. All right, we'll get to that later.
You know what? One year I was in the Pro Bowl and Jerry Rice, I was on the elevator and he said, "Hey, Trey, what's up?"
Wow.
Yeah, I was like,
you know my name.
Jerry Rice just called my name.
That's awesome.
did you say good? How are you?
Yeah.
Or okay.
I gave him, "Hey, what's up, Jerry?" Hello.
Meanwhile, there's fireworks going on.
Oh my God.
Jerry Rice played 21 seasons in
the
NFL.
That's crazy. A lot of football.
That is a lot of football.
And he did Dancing with the Stars.
He did Dancing with the Stars. And this is going to bother me if I don't find this out right now, but I'm pretty sure if it wasn't his last game, it was one of his last games. His fifth to last game, Jerry Rice had 8 receptions on 9 targets for 145 yards and a touchdown. And he did it against the Dallas Cowboys.
Ah, I love to see it.
Take that, Jerry. Good job.
Unfortunately, the Seahawks lost that game to the Cowboys.
Well, who's counting? Yeah. Time of the Fanatic, 9:42.
Farzetta and Trey in the morning.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
The Fanatic.
Be careful in there. Be careful. You don't want to go too deep in there.
First 11 years of his career, after his rookie year, he played every game. Every game. 1,000 yards, at least. And then he got hurt and played 2 games only in that one season. And then the next 7 or 8 more years, played every game again.
What?
Just an animal.
I mean, beast mode before beast mode at the wide receiver position. Go figure. Lewis in Pensauken. What's up, Lewis? Lewis, what's happening?
Hey, what's going on, family? How you doing?
Good.
Listen, I think we're looking at this from a different perspective. Listen, Ben is who he is. I'm kind of throwing up my hands and saying that that's what it is. But I think what happens is if you're going to keep Ben Simmons, you need a really aggressive bucket getting two guard. You need a guy that's going to want to put up 25 shots a game, and that's just what it is. He's such a unique player that you're going to have to compliment him with something. Like, if you really think about it, he would be the perfect compliment to Allen Iverson. Do you think Allen would care whether Ben shot or not?
No.
He would love. Allen Iverson would love to play with Ben Simmons.
Yeah, but as long as Ben is a 4 or 5 in 01.
No. He would play the point. Remember, if you remember, Allen played 2 guards.
Sure, he did.
So what happens is if you put Ben. He would play the best. He would play the best scoring option in the backcourt. He would pass the ball to Allen every time Allen went. And you think Allen would defer? Allen would shoot the ball every time Ben gave it to him.
Mm-hmm.
So what I'm saying is, you need a guy. Josh Richardson, I love the guy. He's got to be. If this is what Ben is, I'm sorry, Josh. You got to put up 25 shots a game. You listen. You can make a name for yourself,
right? But it's too ball dominant. It's two guys that have to be in control of an offense.
Tobias and Josh Richardson right now have to carry the load. They got to put up 20 to 25 shots a game.
Mm-hmm.
Easy. That's what has to happen. Until he comes out of that mental block or whatever, you have to take the load on, and you have to be a guy that's going to want to put up a lot of shots.
All right. Hey, Lewis, you want to go see Temple tonight?
Unfortunately, I'm not able to.
No worries, brother. We're going to do it on all our... Right. Thanks for the call, Lewis. I appreciate it, man. We'll do it on our contest page here in a second, our contest line here. But, Sam, what's the final on our Twitter poll today? What did the good people say about offensive coordinator?
Today, we asked, who of these names would you most like to be the new Eagles offensive coordinator? Jim Caldwell, Gary Kubiak, Deuce Staley, or Press Taylor? We had over 2,500 votes today. 46% say Jim Caldwell.
They go Jim Caldwell. Who was second?
Second was Deuce Staley at 35%.
That's what I expect. And just where was Press Taylor? How many?
3%.
Sorry, I thought I had my mic on.
No, that's all right.
Bob's really pushing that Kubiak narrative.
Yeah, really, man. I don't know what it is. Is there a relation? We don't know.
I gave up on it now. Shefty talked me out of it.
Well, Shefty also talked about...
There's some cold water on the Caldwell thing, too.
And Jay Gruden months ago.
Well, yeah. I'm still going to hold out hope. It's not going to happen, but I can hold out hope, right?
Sam Wilson, what is your takeaway of the day?
Congratulations to Harold Carmichael, a legend that deserves to be forever enshrined.
Thank you very much, Jerry Lynch.
I've always loved and respected the Cooney family. Great people. From Tommy to Kyle to Jenna.
Bobby,
what? All of them. Donna. I'm concerned they're being taught improperly by their father, Bob, that they may be a family that drives in the left lane even when they're not passing. Tough day.
I've choked, Medfiles.
Tough day.
Bob Cooney?
I can only try to do better. But I will say this. In keeping with his Renaissance man persona, Trey Thomas has an affinity for Dancing with the Stars.
Yes. It's a beautiful story. Great program.
Trey Thomas.
Congratulations, Mr. Carmichael. Thank you for all you've done for me. Awesome.
I triple, quadruple the emotion and the notion to congratulate Harold Carmichael, but my main takeaway of the day today is that if Trey Thomas is ever out on his front lawn throwing bags of penises at someone, that's time for me to come get him.
Yeah, come get me.
Because that's when your boys got to get involved.
Yeah, come holler at
you. We got you, Trey.
I keep firing my phone on just so you know.
dare I say it, Trey Thomas is an ultimate foxhole guy. Stay tuned for the Anthony Gargano Show.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.